Oh, because it's the excitement is like it's electric.
It's electric.
Boogie, 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 boogie.
It's electric. It's electric how exciting this is. Because I want to get into it because I want to, you know.
All right, let's get into it.
I want to talk about our latest reviews.
Oh, we have reviews?
Oh, is that so? Wait, hold on.
I'm going to put them on the website.
I did get an email from Apple about reviews, and I was like, we don't have any, whatever.
Okay, wait a minute.
One listen in the last 24 hours, that was me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's respectable.
We had 17, I saw.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just listened, so.
I only see one review,
there's
and it's
19.
Spoilers, it was me, so.
No. I got a review on my, somebody texted me.
Oh, okay.
Talking about. You're ready? Cheers. We're both ready?
Cheers.
Cheers. Go.
Starting.
A little bit of this.
Because it's a little holiday sounds.
Yes.
Holiday feeling at KCRW. Welcome back to Talkin' Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm your co-host, Bridget's dad.
Yay!
I heard co-host on NPR the other day, and I thought, why am I not a co-host?
You are. You're also a host.
I'm also a host. Well, I'm a host and a co-host.
Joining us today, Mr. Can't Get Enough of That Talkin' Trek, Eric Anderson.
Hey. We're happy. We're happy that you're here.
Last time you got to introduce yourself. We can take it back and you can do that again if you want.
No, this is great. I think our listeners are well aware of the official GTSer of Talkin' Trek.
Yes.
They've kept the feedback coming, is what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no take-backsies.
No take-backsies.
Yeah, do you have your Googling ready just in case?
Mm.
We need you.
I do.
Are we all ready to Google? Okay.
Right. I have my phone updated to the latest version.
Are you all
ready
to do it? All right.
I do want to mention one thing before we get going is our sponsor for this episode.
Who is it today?
Is, well, in this episode, our friend and colleague Neelix tells Paris that breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So to that end, I looked up the sponsor. Our sponsor this time is Neutrinos, an important part of a balanced breakfast. Have a bowl of Neutrinos.
That's a good one.
That's a great one. I love when they sponsor us. It's always so funny.
Yeah.
Neutrinos are good. I eat them every day.
In fact,
I'm like being showered with them right now.
Are they good in a replicator?
You can't replicate neutrinos. You can only harvest them.
Darn.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's tough.
Hey, happy holidays, Dad.
Happy holidays to you. This is our holiday special, and I'm feeling very special. How about you? I see you're wearing.
I'm wearing a Santa hat.
Your Santa hat. That's looking good. That's looking good. I'm liking it.
How are you going to edit in a bunch of holiday music?
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking, probably somewhere in there. I'll just hum a few bars or go to a few bars, one or the other.
Dead joke. Already. How long has it been? 10 seconds?
10 seconds. Okay, well, there you go. What's been going on lately? What's happening in your world?
We just got some holiday parties. Mm-hmm. Went to Eric's holiday party at his work.
Gussied up. Ate way too much food. Started our New Year's resolution diets already. So
that's always good. That's always good.
Yeah. What about you, Dad?
What about me? Well, there's a couple things that are interesting in my life. One is this awesome calendar I got.
What? Drum roll.
Oh, drum roll. Take a look.
Ooh.
That it's is a awesome. Star Trek. A city on the edge of forever calendar.
Yes. Well, this guy.
Very specific.
Oh, no. This guy is really cool. I saw some of his designs a couple of years ago on the interwebs. And so they turned him into, his designs turned into posters. His name is Juan Ortiz. And he made these posters.
Yes.
Oh, sweet. That's
just flat out freaking awesome.
Yeah, let's not describe it at all. Let's just go, oh, for our
right, I know. Well, well, to describe them is they look like 60s movie posters.
Yeah.
But they're based on the original series
episode titles.
Episodes.
Right?
So that's they great. So you know.
So ooh, not just love, City on the Edge.
I love this one here. This is Mirror Mirror.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to take a couple pics and we'll put them on Instagram or something and give this guy some props because this guy is awesome.
Oh, yeah. If you search Juan Ortiz, they just spelled exactly like you'd think, J-U-A-N, you can find him on Amazon. And it looks like it's eligible for Prime delivery. So
that's a good poster.
Check this one out. Trouble with Tribbles.
Look at all those tribbles.
Look at all the tribbles.
Isn't that just beauty?
That's pretty good. That's great.
Oh, yeah. So I would suggest, as a calendar, it sucks.
Because there's no dates?
Because the dates are a little tiny, 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 tiny printing at the bottom.
That's funny.
So it's not really a calendar. It's just, just an atlas. A really
why didn't
cool
they just make it a why didn't they just make it a calendar?
Yeah, they should have made it, you know, they should have given you a calendar, but I guess it's too expensive.
It's like the size of a pea.
So yeah, cool. I know. You can barely read it. So anyway, so that's one thing that's really cool. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's cool is we got a review.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. We got a review.
We love feedback. Thank you, everybody.
It was feedback. Oh, yeah. Well, see, here's the deal. So I was talking to Mom last night because our vacuum cleaner broke down.
Good story.
And we're like, oh, man, we got to buy a new vacuum cleaner. I don't want to buy one. Yeah, we have to buy one because we can't fix it. Okay. So Mom says, well, we should get one of those Dyson Sphere vacuum cleaners. And I said the Dyson Sphere was the thing that Scotty got trapped in. And then she said, no, it's a Dyson vacuum cleaner. I said, okay, Dyson vacuum cleaner. That's cool. And then I said, oh, yeah, my friend Greg and I did a video about Dyson vacuum cleaners. The video really sucked, but so did the vacuum cleaner.
Ayo.
So they
are not currently a sponsor. Is that what I understand?
Well, it certainly does suck.
That's what vacuum cleaners do. They suck. Anyway, I'm talking to Mom and I said, you know, I wonder what happened to that vacuum cleaner that we had for the video. So I decided to out of the blue text my friend Greg and say, hey, Greg, whatever happened to that vacuum cleaner? And he says, it's broken down. It sucked. I said, yeah, it sucked. And then he said, you know, something about this coming from the finest nonverbal actor of our generation, talking about me. Because in our videos, I didn't have a lot to say. Greg did all the talking.
And yes, my dad did. He did experimental videos for the town's newspaper.
Experimental is maybe the wrong word.
I don't, what would you call it?
Experimental sounds like it was like he was nude the whole time.
No.
Like he was in a pillowcase, like trying to get out the whole time.
No. I would say it was taking the paper, you know, the brick and mortar paper, and he was taking it online in bold new ways.
It was scientific and informative.
Definitely.
And fun.
Quadrants.
Yeah, look at the quadrants, everybody. Yeah, they're still on the. Are they still on the internet?
There's quite a few quadrants videos on YouTube.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So what we did was we had a page, and that had these just oddball stories. This all came from Greg's oddball mind, and we started doing videos for once in a while for one of the stories. And one of the stories was about a Dyson vacuum cleaner being the greatest vacuum cleaner in the world. And so we did a video about it. Anyway, yeah, I didn't really have a lot to say in those videos. I mean, I smiled a lot and kind of nodded my head and would say, yep.
Or, you kind of just laughed. You
know, I just kind of laughed and let Greg be Greg, which is great because
you need a straight man, funny man.
I was the straight guy. Greg was the funny guy. And we all had.
I don't know. I think it was the other way around because Greg was the one that was always like, no, Joe, you got to do it like this. And you were like, ha 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 ha.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was like one of the most fun I ever had at work and get paid for it. It was just really great. So anyway, yeah. So he's called me the greatest nonverbal actor of our generation. And I said back to him in a text, nonverbal, you should check out talkintrek.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then about 20 minutes later, I get this text that goes like this.
20 minutes is all as far as you can get there.
Yeah, it was taking me 20 minutes to find the text. About 20 minutes later, I get this thing that's from Greg, and it says, oh my, I'm listening right now. This is podcast gold.
Yeah. Wow.
So shout out to Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
If he wants to put that on iTunes, that's cool.
Hey.
You're going to do it for him?
You could probably say Greg from Geneseo, award-winning former newspaper editor, you know, something like that. Because he is an award winner.
That's not how iTunes works, but former. Sure, right.
He is former, and, you know, without mentioning any names, we don't really want to mention any names.
Mm-mm.
But because we don't, you know, I don't want to put Greg on the spot and have him like get thousands of letters.
Yeah, from, that's probably
from
what's
all of our
happen.
Fans from all of our fans.
All of them. They're gonna go to
all
look
of
up,
our,
well, they can look
at
quadrants
fans.
On YouTube. That's what we have, can do.
Yes. We have many, many fans. Some of them are oscillating fans and some are ceiling fans.
Hey man, you're just on a roll tonight.
Did you hear how he repeated the same dad joke multiple times earlier? I mean, there's
that is comedic.
I think you're going for a Guinness Book of World Records here, and I'm laughing every time.
What was that, the same dad joke? What do you mean, same dad joke?
I'll remember it.
You know it. So I got some fan mail.
Okay, what's your
as
fan
well.
Mail? Okay.
So at Talkin' Trek is our Instagram handle for all you millennials out there. And hey, Instagram is not just for millennials. But mostly it is. So
not like neutrinos, right?
Right. Mm-mm. So Mike Quirk, who's our one of our fans. He's listened to the, you know, he suggested Darmok. He commented on our Instagram saying he's got a haiku for us. And it says, you might not have Kirk. You might not even get Quart. Fuck, I messed it up.
Start again,
Eric.
This is the rated R version.
and scene.
Eric, you do it.
Okay. So specifically, he said haiku contest late entry because he is aware that our contest ended a few months ago.
But you can always send us your haikus.
Yeah, we'll definitely enjoy them and potentially read them on air. Mm-hmm. So there you go. So he starts it. You might not have Quirk. Might not even get Quark. But Quirk is listening. Happy holidays. Quirk, and I screwed it up too. Okay, it's hard because the
but is the seventh syllable.
See, it's such a good haiku. We didn't even get it.
You might not have Kirk. You might not even get Quark, but Kirk. Dang it! It's so good. It's a tongue twister.
It's a tongue twister. Try it.
You guys get it. Okay, should we try again?
Yeah, let's try it one more time.
All right. You might not have Kirk. Might not even get Quark, but Quirk is listening.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was tough.
Well done.
I hope all the listeners only have to hear that once.
It took us four tries.
This is all of this is staying in. This is podcast gold. Guys.
Podcast gold.
Podcast gold.
Oh no, Greg just gave us validation.
No.
I love it. He says he would argue that Star Trek and Gilligan's Island are the same show, just different settings. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, maybe Voyager. Because like
3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Like Voyager didn't mean to be gone that long. And now they're just having to make do. They're trying to figure out a way to get home. So yeah, that makes more sense.
Who's Gilligan in this situation? Tuvok?
Harry Kim.
Harry Kim.
The man who, as season four, is still an ensign.
He shows it, too.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard for it to get advancement there, though.
But but come on. The amount of stuff that they've been through in the last 4 years. I mean, B'Elanna didn't even complete the academy, and she's a lieutenant.
Yeah,
you know? Chakotay wasn't a part of Starfleet, and he's a commander. Well, Paris, another dropout, is a... at least another person in, you know, he's a lieutenant.
Not only a dropout, but he was a felon.
Yeah, they're all lieutenants, but Harry, dude. Janeway's just like, nah, bro.
Not going to happen. I think you're right. I think that's probably what's going on there. Okay,
is that our segue to talk about our episode, Dad?
Yeah, which episode else you want to talk about? Our episode. I'm good. Those were the major points of things. I mean, I could bring up the eternal argument about why Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Oh, no.
Oh, please, let's not. Like,
it's not.
Send your comments and questions to Eric at...
Eric at Talking... Say underscore hi
at TalkingTech.com.
There we go. You can, because I, spoiler alert, believe that it is a Christmas movie.
Those
are fighting words.
Do you have your shields up?
My shields. No, we're not going down that road.
Shields up.
We
can't. No, because that would just be the whole episode.
You know
that he is not a reasonable man to argue with.
That's fair. I was gonna do a bit about us actually being in a dream, and my lasers were on fire, but that's okay.
That was meta.
Waking moments.
Yeah, so.
So give me the 30-second monologue.
So this could be a group effort.
Just pick any monologue that you saw in the episode. Just
to be or not to be. To sleep, perchance to dream.
Terrible. That was a dad joke, Bridget.
So all of us, Voyager season four, they're in some space. They're still in the Delta Quadrant. They got 60,000 light years to go, right? So they all start the episode having a nightmare. And they all wake up. They all get together. They're all having breakfast. Everyone's like sleepy. And that's when they all discover that they've all had nightmares with a similar alien inside the nightmare.
Not just similar.
The same. And that's when they discover that there is an alien species that goes inside your dreams. Ooh. And they have to figure out, so they know that the only way that they can deal with these aliens is by being inside their dreams. So that's pretty much what happens.
And then you've got this unbeatable foe who's like the ruler of the dream world, and they have to figure out how to overcome that.
Yeah.
And they can't wake up.
Well, the thing that I found completely kind of crazy is the shared dream aspect of this.
Right. Yeah. Well, so they all have a shared, like everyone on Voyager realizes that they're all dreaming the same dream together. But obviously that's because this alien is emitting a technology that allows them all to sleep inside the same world where they exist, you know, all together. Like the aliens can be inside everyone's shared dreams.
The collective consciousness or... Whatever.
Yeah, Seven of Nine called it a collective unconsciousness, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. My question though is, you know, it was a lot like the movie Inception in that respect.
Right. So, for sure.
But again,
and the movie The Matrix.
Yeah, we were saying that The Matrix and Inception might have got some ideas from this episode. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they might have. They might have. At least that whole conscious. Have you ever seen the movie Waking Life?
No.
No.
Then I won't go into it. But it's a very good movie. And what is his name? Linklater?
Richard Linklater.
Yeah, he did it. And it's one long story, but each portion of it is animated in a little bit different fashion. And it's kind of represents, it's supposed to represent a dream world that somebody's going through and all of the weird things that are happening to him and the weird kind of visions that he sees around him. Sometimes it's very real. Sometimes it's not so real. Sometimes it's like phantasmagorical, but it's a lot like a dream. It's really kind of great.
My dad, was the thing. The only person that will say, I'm not going to go into it, but still go into it.
And talk about phantasmagoricness.
Well, my question to you is, have you ever had a dream that was like these in that everything was perfect around them? The settings, the scenes, the chairs, they everything was so perfect they didn't know they were dreaming.
Yeah, but that's like not, I mean, because the answer is no, but like how do you show that on a television show?
Well, by having kind of blank walls and maybe one or two buttons on the console.
Yeah,
well,
but they
definitely
were
definitely more fun to watch them think that it's real.
Yeah, that was they needed to show that
they believed it because that's how the aliens did their work.
Yeah, and maybe do it that way, you know?
I'm saying you as a viewer could have seen it all that way, which is really the way we see dreams, at least me, when I'm dreaming, you know, and I'm in the car, I don't necessarily remember if there's a radio there. But I know there's a steering wheel.
Some details are missing.
Sure. Yeah, lots of details in the world are missing. Right. Mm-hmm. Unless you want to turn the radio on, then all of a sudden the radio is there because now you notice it.
Right.
You know, you're driving down the road, but you may not notice that there are houses on either side until you look. And then there's houses. I just think that it would have been more fascinating if the world that they were in had much less detail, but they didn't notice.
Mm-hmm.
You and I would have noticed because we weren't dreaming along with them.
That was the thing, is they were trying to trick us into thinking that these things were actually happening at first.
Yeah, much like Inception, there were multiple layers to it where Chakotay thought he woke up and then he thought he woke up and then he actually woke up. Like there were all these different pieces that we as the viewer weren't supposed to.
Yeah, we needed to be fooled as the viewer in order for us to stay in the story and not be ahead of the story.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose that's possible.
I thought you were going to ask, have we ever had a dream within a dream?
Well, have you?
I don't know that I've ever. I mean, I probably have just thought I woke up but didn't wake up, but it's not.
Yeah, I've never had a lucid dream where I knew I was sleeping and I could control it. I've had dreams where I was about to wake up and I could sort of like understand that I was asleep, but I couldn't change anything.
I have had a lucid controlling dream.
Oh, really? Well, that's because you're a very controlling person.
Ooh. That's not true at all.
No comment.
Hey! So, when I first heard about lucid dreaming, I was still relatively young, and I had a nightmare that Chucky was coming after me. Uh-huh. You know,
this is Chucky from Chuck E. Cheese.
This Chuck is Chucky. Cheese. This is Chucky, the doll that stabs people.
Oh, that's Cheese. That's Stabby Stabberton, isn't that his name? Stabberson.
Okay, Stabby, that's Stabberson. What our Instagram photo is going to be.
Stabby Stabberson.
No. And I remembered hearing that in Lucid, like that you can control your dreams if you know you're dreaming. So I told Chucky to go off to the side. And he did. He stopped coming after me and he did like an about face and started running in a different direction.
Oh, really?
And then I woke up. So it was like the second I knew I was out of harm, I was able to wake up.
Oh.
So that's as most controlling as I've ever been able to do.
Stabby McStabberson did not come after you.
No, he did not.
Now, have you ever considered that he was actually attacking you in your dreams and you just stopped his attack?
Like Freddy Krueger? Yeah, he could have been an alien from a different species.
Oh, wait a minute. Isn't Freddy Krueger isn't he in your nightmares or something?
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So
that's this whole thing, right?
That's another lucid dreaming thing.
That is correct. And there, so that was a pretty cool subplot of the episode is trying to keep people awake. I'm a big fan of coffee. And I've done some 30-hour road trips.
What about cooking oil? Warm cooking oil. What about that?
No, nope. Which when Paris gets the cooking oil, I'm like, how did that not burn off of his lips?
Not just that. I mean, it just you didn't watch him pour that freaking cooking oil into the cup. You couldn't tell that wasn't coffee, but hey, whatever.
So. That was pretty cool.
Go ahead. You were saying.
All I was saying is that I'm a big fan of like the mind over matter, trying to stay awake. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's a limit. You can't just keep staying up without consequences. And by the end of the episode, when Chakotay's trying to stay awake in that cave, I was feeling it. I was like, oh man, I don't know if I can stay awake. Like it really, the tension built all the way throughout the episode as you saw people unable to wake up.
Yeah, that was some good acting on his part. Like, like the way that he like wakes him, like is about to fall asleep, and then the doctor wakes him. Like, I was like, man, I've felt that many a time. Yeah, the amount of movies I've tried to stay awake through.
Yeah.
The times on a road trip where I've tried to keep you awake, but then I've fallen asleep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen. But so. Anyway, was there any other really cool things about this episode that you enjoyed?
Dude, the whole episode was great.
I thought it was a great episode. It was a little scarier than most Star Trek episodes.
Eric.
I got a little scared. At the very beginning when that alien appears, this is pretty creepy.
Yeah, the beginning was funny with like, you know, an alien is in one dream and you're like, huh. But then like Paris is crashing and this alien just like slowly rises.
Yeah, I thought that was a little bizarre.
That's pretty good.
What I kind of wondered about that alien is how the heck does he eat a sandwich? I mean, he had that big thing on his, you know, that horn or something on his chin.
Yeah, the horn like underneath his mouth.
It was like because it had a tooth at the end.
Yeah.
So maybe he grabs the sandwich with the tooth.
With his chin.
Like, maybe he's like an elephant in that way.
You gotta see this guy to believe him. Yeah, there was like a bump, a big bump, like a goatee. That meant he was evil. And and on the end of the bump on his chin was a horn or a giant claw or a tooth. I guess this was a kind of a shark's tooth or something. I don't know. But it was as long as your thumb.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. We don't know. Maybe it grabs things in.
I mean, these are important questions because the race, as we learn throughout the episode, they sleep and that's like their existence. So how do they eat?
Right, that's the other thing.
Maybe they are like can suck nutrients from the ground or something. You know?
Right, that's interesting.
There was something there
because
they're a little bit like tardigrades, you know, water bears. You never heard of the water bear?
No.
Oh, you've never heard of a water bear? Oh, cool.
Nope.
GTS that thing. Anyway, water bears can go into like this suspended animation for 1,000 years and then wake up kind of a little bit like sea monkeys.
What? Oh, it's microscopic.
It's microscopic.
Phylum of water.
It's a polar bear with 8 legs.
Little isn't water
that
bears.
Isn't that pretty? Wouldn't you want to have one of those for a pet? Water bears.
Everybody water bears.
They're called, what are they so called? They tardigrades? Can... I think they're called tardigrades.
Tardigrades is correct.
Yeah, wow. So now GTSing is just going to be us double checking you.
You're thinking dad's pulling it.
Fact checking you.
Here's my notes.
You know, it's funny too. That here, everyone is remembering their dreams. They're all like, oh, I had a dream last night. Oh, I had a dream last night. This happened and this happened.
Right.
And then, I was like, how come? Like, really, there wasn't like an Eric on board that just never remembers his dreams ever.
Yeah. Like, I'll have great dreams and I've had like a few vivid ones in my lifetime, but normally I just can't remember them.
Well, here's the thing. Your dreams are always very interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
But... to you, haven't you ever told anybody about your dream and they're like going, yeah, whatever.
I literally send monologues and paragraphs to Eric about my dreams.
And they're always interesting.
Oh, hey, thanks.
They are actually really bizarre. I don't know what's wrong with her, but yeah.
Yeah, see, I have very vivid dreams almost on a nightly basis. So I don't know if that means I'm not hitting that deep enough sleep.
No, you can't dream unless you're totally in REM.
Oh, so then I'm good at sleeping.
Yeah, you're good. You're like
it is
really
a superpower.
Totally sleeping out. Yeah, you're totally sleeping.
But yeah.
How about you? Is there a moment in this episode that made you say, I like this episode? I mean, you've probably seen it many times, but.
I watched it 4 or 5 times just to, you know, let it sink in.
Jeez, Dad, silence your phone.
What? Oh, sorry, I silenced my phone.
Wow, what a millennial here. Am
it's
I
Greg
right?
again.
He's just too goodness. Connected.
Meta.
Greg, you're on the air.
Greg, you're on the air.
I told him to shut up.
That's how we treat our fans.
Yeah. No, it was the bank. Telling me that I spent too much money on my credit card or something.
Oh, no.
I'll silence my phone now.
And you told them to shut up.
You told them
like,
to
I'm
shut up. Oh, that was good.
Damn well was
that. I tell the bank to shut up all the time.
We talked about how we haven't really, the inception things, the idea of like a dream within a dream that Chakotay was in, a dream within a dream within a dream at one point. But...
Oh, excuse me. Hold on.
Oh, my goodness. Mr.
Hello,
Popular over here.
Hi. This is Jerry. I'm a...
Hello?
Long time listener? First time caller?
No, the battery died.
Our first caller got denied.
Our first caller. I got to go get the other one.
And in case this part doesn't get cut out, listeners, I don't know that was factually correct, that you only dream if you're in REM. I do believe.
Yeah, I thought you dream in like the state that's right before waking up. That's why you remember your dreams when you wake up, but you don't remember like whatever happens earlier.
I think you can only remember the ones in like those beta waves or whatever they are.
Yeah.
You don't remember the REM ones.
Yeah, because it's like the super deep sleep is when you're not
or something.
Dreaming.
Yeah.
Oh, like your brain is actually shutting up. Yeah, why don't we GTS it?
You're on Talking Trek.
Hey, this is Jerry again. I don't understand what the panel's prejudice is against tardigrades. I just want to know if the alien infected the crew with tardigrades to control their thoughts and brain, and maybe fluoride had something to do with it. Thank you very much. I'll take my answer off here.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for calling in.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so great.
Has he been listening this whole time? You
yes.
said this was unsubscribed or unsolicited. What is it?
It's unlisted, but what I did was I...
But you sent Jerry the link, didn't you?
Link.
You sure did.
Wait, why doesn't it show him in here then?
He's watching on YouTube.
What?
This is dangerous.
Along with all the other listeners?
Just one. Just Jerry. Uh-huh. It's unlisted,
okay,
so Jerry
so
has a link.
Jerry wondered if the water bears were controlling our dreams.
I think so.
Were you listening to our listener?
I was listening to your list. He said something about, well, what he said was we were prejudiced against water bears.
Oh.
And he wanted to know why we thought water bears were controlling our dreams. But I don't know.
No, let's think about that. See, this is the great thing about the episode was somebody came up with an idea. Like Tuvok is like, hey, maybe we're all dreaming a shared dream. And everyone supported that. Well, except for Harry, who was like, no. Stupid, but everyone else was like, okay.
What was Harry's dream? I mean, you know, it's particularly embarrassing for Harry.
Wow,
wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, so that was, Harry had a real steamy dream with Seven of Nine, which, by the way, yeah, he's had a crush on her since the beginning. So it's funny that he doesn't end up with her. Like the writers were just like torturing him or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were just giving him, you know, some shade, throwing shade at poor Harry.
But yeah, so there's a lot of encouraging scientific argument in this dream, which I like. Or sorry, within this episode. Oof.
Are we dreaming right now?
But maybe this species was created by water bears.
These are the theories. Now, I know this is a little bit of a tangent, but after this episode, which I think we agree is pretty strong for Voyager, you did go on a Voyager voyage, right?
Yes.
And so that's how you knew that Harry and Seven of Nine had a little bit of a history.
I did. Dad, I loved this episode so much that then the next episode started playing. I started watching that episode. And then I loved that episode so much that then I watched the next episode.
Oh, no.
And then I loved that episode so much, I was like, you know what? I want to go back and learn. I was like, I want to figure out how Kes left again. Like, I forgot how Kes left.
Oh, right.
I want to know how Seven of Nine came to be. So I went back to the beginning of season four, and I've been watching season four.
For the last week.
So, right. Oh, you said, what?
I liked Kes better than Seven and Nine as far as a character is concerned.
Really?
She was much more interesting.
So boring.
You think she was boring?
I thought it made complete sense that she left the show.
Really? I thought she was.
I am an alien. I am like Dark Phoenix. I am like Jean Grey. I can't control my
Phoenix,
powers.
No, Phoenix Dark, Dirk.
Phoenix.
I was born Phoenix Dark and changed my name.
Yeah, that's so. But anyway,
hey, that's a Christmas movie too, by the way.
Dirk Diggler.
No.
Boogie Nights.
No, not Boogie Nights.
X-Men 3.
It's got men in the title. Mystery Men 1.
That is not. Okay, there's only the one. And it's not a Christmas movie.
It's got explosions and gunfire in it.
Oh, that's not what makes Die Hard a Christmas movie.
What makes Die Hard a Christmas movie is that it takes place at Christmas.
It takes place at Christmas.
Yeah. And there are heartwarming tales told.
And face burning tales.
Slightly. Okay. And he's given a gift of a machine gun?
Yeah.
That's.
And there's a Santa, and he says, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, see?
Trading Places is a Christmas movie.
I feel like it actually is.
That's fine. You know, if somebody out there wants to watch Trading Places every Christmas, they can go right ahead.
Dan Aykroyd has
no
a Santa
judgment.
Outfit, right?
Is that
what I'm not judging. I'm not arguing.
Uh-huh. I think we've digressed a little bit.
We always digress.
We pretty much shot down our caller.
Our poor caller. We didn't even answer his question.
We didn't. Anyone?
I don't think there's any hate against tardigrades. I think we're just now learning about them, and it's too early to make a judgment call.
That's the official stance
of the GTSer.
Eric's like our producer that comes in and like calms us down and like clarifies what we should be saying.
I wish I had that power.
I do want to say I brought up tardigrades because it just popped into my head. And the only reason it popped into my head was not because I'm smart, which I am, but it popped into my head because I've been watching the Star Trek Discovery lately. I purchased, it was a birthday present, thank you very much, and purchased the first season on DVD, and I've been watching it. And I have mixed emotions about this show. There's a lot that is not canon, shall we say. But there are many canons in the show.
Ayo.
But I do find it interesting, except for, except for the crazy crap that goes on. Stuff that wasn't in the Star Trek universe. So I don't know if they're in an alternate Star Trek timeline or what they are.
Yeah. It's, do they follow the movies?
No, but they look, they do have that, that new wave look of the J.J. Abrams kind of Star Trek.
Right.
Except, because except they don't, the bridge doesn't look like it was designed by Apple.
That's good.
it's darker. It's a darker bridge.
Because it's interesting that Seven of Nine follows the movies, because Seven of Nine at one point in the season, it probably wasn't this episode, but she says, they were talking about First Contact and Zephyr Cochrane. Right, right. And she's like, oh, well, the Borg were present at that time too. And they're like, really? And she's like, it's a long story. Yeah. So that was an homage to First Contact. But
sure, absolutely. And, you know, and that was up until this particular show, this new Star Trek Discovery, up until then, the TV shows pretty much stuck to the Star Trek world.
Mm-hmm.
And but this one kind of takes a turn off the road and goes down their own road.
I see.
And a tardigrade figures prominently.
Really? Oh, seriously?
Yeah, seriously. Well,
so are you saying you want us, let us know, listeners, if you would like us to talk about Discovery or not?
And you can always catch Eric on his new podcast, Talkin' Discovery. It's a once a month show, surprise releasing. So check out my Instagram. But it's,
have you been
it's
watching really- it? Did you watch it anyway?
No, I'm just launching it right now.
I was going to say, there is an After Trek
Santa
show.
Claus is coming to town.
Uh-oh.
You never know.
Spoilers.
Wait, spoilers?
You
serious, Clark?
So, you know what? We digress. Can we get back to Voyager, the show everyone knows and loves?
So you enjoyed Andy Dick?
I did. Again, no, let's get back to Waking Moments. I'm talking about Waking Moments.
Okay.
What a Vulcan, everyone's teasing Tuvok. What would a Vulcan have a nightmare about?
Yeah,
And they're like, laughter. And then they all laugh. And that's what it was Tuvok showing up naked and everyone laughed.
Right,
it was
right,
so
right.
Good.
So I read on Memory Alpha that Tim Russ was like, a Vulcan wouldn't care, like, if he was naked, because Vulcans don't feel embarrassment.
Right.
But he might be, again, I can only think of an emotion, but he might maybe be confused that he showed up to work without his uniform. And so he was like, as an actor, that's what I played, was just, oh, no, I don't have my uniform. I better go get my uniform on.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
I kind of wondered about that because I didn't think, number one, I didn't think that he would be embarrassed.
Yeah.
But number two, I thought about, you know, when I was like a little kid, I never dreamt that I was naked in a dream, but I did dream that I showed up at my, you know, kindergarten in my underpants.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I was the only one that knew I was in my underpants.
Nobody noticed.
So I was wondering, why did everybody notice that, you know, Tuvok was naked? Because, you know, it turned it around, kind of. But you know, you're embarrassed when you're in your underpants. I just like saying underpants. And,
no kidding.
And that's why I drink beer in my underpants. But
TMI.
Oh, that's what I tell people at work. No, that's what I tell people at work. Those people say, what are you doing on the weekend? Oh, I'm just going to sit around and drink beer in my underpants.
Hey, if any listeners out there want to call in and talk about their wacky dreams.
Hopefully right not about beer and underpants.
Well, the phone is here and operators are still here.
Do you have any, what would Picard or Kirk do?
Well, this was mostly about Chakotay, though.
That's what we said too.
It'd be like, what would Riker do? What would Riker do? I think Riker would have done pretty much the same thing that Chakotay did, only without the mystical shamanism that Chakotay had going for him.
Right.
Yeah. You know? But I found that kind of interesting that Chakotay was the only one that could figure out how to do lucid dreaming as well.
Yeah.
But it did make sense that he would be the guy because he practiced it. You know, he practice makes perfect. So he
does it a lot.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. What would Spock do?
Yeah.
What would Spock do?
I don't know. I don't have that. We just had a what would Picard do.
I mean, and we already kind of demonstrated
because the
main thing that we thought of is that he would make some sort of a remark about the depth of dreams and quote some Shakespeare for us.
Yeah, he would.
For sure.
I think that's our go-to, what would Picard do, honestly. But
your go-to is quoting Shakespeare?
Shakespeare. But I'm growing, watching all these Voyager episodes, I'm really growing to love Janeway.
Surprisingly.
It is surprising. Like as a kid, I didn't really care for her that much. But now I'm like, she's a badass. And she is the author of our two wall of quotes.
Both.
Oh, really?
Fantastic Janeway.
Both great
quotes.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah, a pretty good quote, Janeway quote out of this
one. You do the one.
Which one?
That one.
So when they're first talking about it potentially being an alien race that nobody's ever heard of, Janeway whips out this fantastic line, sometimes first contact is last contact.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And then I also, a close second is the, we're going to turn this dream into a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, I know. I almost said it before she did.
You saw the Schwarzenegger gun cock. You knew
I knew where that was going.
But so, she's starting to, she's very like mama bear fierce. Mm-hmm. She's very like, I don't take stuff from anybody.
Yeah.
She's very like, that's an order. You know, sometimes to the point where she probably should listen to Chakotay more, but also Chakotay has bad advice. So, she's super, super fierce, and she sacrificed, as much as I didn't like the Year of Hell, which I just watched, where she crashes the Voyager into another ship and sacrifices herself. And that episode's only okay. But the fact that she
I loved Year of Hell.
But the fact that she did that she completely sacrifices herself for Voyager and the crew, and she gets scientific gut instincts and goes on them. I'm really loving this. I'm really loving Janeway.
I like most of her. Most of her character, except when she's like, are you sure that's going to be okay for you? I mean, think. And then she picks up her hand and think about this or that or the other thing.
She does have this great hand gesture that she uses all the time.
Yeah, when she becomes, she becomes Mama Janeway.
Yeah.
She becomes their mother and instead of their commanding officer. And I think that kind of sucks. I don't really care for that.
Like the Dyson vacuum.
It sucks.
Do you have a red shirt, Dad?
I do. Do you?
Okay. Nope.
Nobody died in this episode, but it was brought to my attention today.
The deer died.
Did he know?
No, he just morphed into an alien.
Yeah. No. It was brought to my attention that we totally missed the boat when we did Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
Whatever. You had one red shirt and I had a different one.
We missed the most important red shirt of all.
Who?
Spock.
He's not wearing a red shirt.
In that episode, in that movie, he does wear a red shirt. And you guys, the most important red shirt of all.
Dude, that hurts. That is. It's because spoilers, he is alive in the next movie. So I guess that's why I'll defend that. But for the most part, no, I do feel ashamed that we didn't come up with that.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't come up with
that. Can he be our red shirt dad?
Oh, he's our red shirt today.
Okay, raise a glass.
Here's to Spock.
To Spock.
May you rest in peace.
May you rest in peace. Even though we forgot him.
Even though he dies a couple times.
He came back to life.
Came back to life and then died again.
Quiet.
Be quiet.
And it was like forever episodes ago. Mm-hmm. But it was the season.
I think he wanted to die after doing J.J. Abrams movies. Ooh. But that's a whole nother story.
Leonard Nimoy tape?
Oh, I'm not talking about Leonard.
Talking about Leonard.
No. Leonard was happy to do any movie.
Wrath of Khan Spock didn't die after J.J. Abrams. that was a low blow. I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm thinking if I was in a J.J. Abrams. Oh, one thing.
I'll be in a J.J. Abrams.
We didn't do it. This was interesting Star Trek facts.
Okay, go on. All right.
I forgot. Tom Hanks always wanted to be in a Star Trek episode.
Okay.
He's never been in Star Trek. He always wanted to be in Star
Trek. Missed opportunity.
But it would seem that when he was on this Paramount set doing Bosom Buddies with, what's his name, Scolari? Peter Scolari. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. He and Peter Scolari snuck onto the Star Trek stage and sat in the captain's chair and pretended to beam out in the transporter room and stuff. Yeah. He admitted that to somebody like Billy Kim or Jimmy Kimmel or somebody like that. Billy Allen.
Bosom Buddies was around Billy in like Kimmel. 86? Or was it like a movie Star Trek set?
I have no idea. I can't. I don't. I just read that he had.
When was Bosom Buddies around, Eric?
I'll get right on that.
Get right on that. Bosom Buddies.
Okay, interesting
Star Trek fact. Yeah, he was sneaking around and goofing off on the Star Trek set.
Well, Dad, it's been a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a year. We started this podcast in January.
Bosom Buddies was 1980 to 1982.
So maybe it was like during Wrath of Khan or something.
Oh yeah, that would be Wrath of Khan time.
Yeah, maybe absolutely. that was filmed at Paramount still, because all of it was really. But
yeah, cool stuff.
All right, cool. Thank you, our GTSer. GTSer, give him a round of applause. Make us feel good.
That was so half-hearted.
It's okay. The audience at home is clapping.
They're clapping. That's all that matters.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
So we've been doing this podcast for almost a year. It's the holidays, so we got kind of the new year feeling coming up anyway. I thought it was the perfect time to reflect on a year of Talk and Trek.
Uh-huh.
So our next episode in the new year,
uh-huh,
we're going to rate our Talk and Trek episodes.
They were all great. Podcast gold, baby. Podcast gold.
Maybe there's some behind the scenes for some of them. Maybe our listeners can say what their favorite episodes have been.
You're asking me to remember.
It's a or maybe it's a bad. Guess what? They're all available on iTunes.
That's true. Just search Talking Trek. Right. Don't click the one that has the apostrophe. Click the other one.
Yeah, and I have them all unedited, so I can bring back some bloopers.
You can go to SoundCloud and listen to them all.
I can get some. Oh, I've got them unedited. Like I said, bloopers.
There you go. Bring back some bloopers. City. Make a blooper reel.
A really popular thing to do is a mailbag. Do we want to maybe read some?
Yeah, let's mail us at say_hi@talkingtrek.com. It'll be an episode of reflection.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait about 6 months to do this. We're going to get enough emails to... to actually read them online. But that's okay. We'll do it.
I don't know. That was an
Our
idea.
Next episode will be in June of 2019.
Yeah.
If not, we can do Message in a Bottle, because that was a good episode.
Yeah, that was a good episode. So. Message in a Bottle was really a good episode. Well, no. Oh, no, no, I'm up for this. I'm really up for this. You know, we'll do it. We'll sit and talk about, you know, hey, remember that time?
Well, if we can't fill a full episode with it, we can talk about Message in a Bottle afterwards.
I can do that too. I'm good. Or we can talk about our favorite Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, there you go.
We can do that too.
I don't know. This one was probably, this is up there. It's one of my favorites. Again, you know how you said you posed a question online of if there was an episode that you would share, if you get someone started on Star Trek, what would it be?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like this is a good one I mean, if it made me want to watch a ton.
Yeah, right.
You know, gotcha. It'd probably make somebody else want to watch a ton. So.
Yeah, that's cool. So.
Izzy, you got anything? You got anything else?
What? You don't want me to do it? You do
no,
it. No, you do it. You
do it. I didn't know you were done, but I guess, are you ready to be done, Dad?
That isn't what you say. What do you say?
You ready to end this thing?
Make it so.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
And the fire is so delightful.
But since we've no place to go.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so. It's our holiday special.
It smells so bad. I was like, is there a fart over here? I didn't fart. Who farted over here?